Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bey's Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. The rebellion of Avshalom has ended. Dovid pardons Shimi ben Gera, shows his appreciation for those who have helped him, and he is on his way back to Yerushalayim. Dovid had made a request from Shevet Yehuda to accompany him back to Yerushalayim and to sort of lead the procession, because he felt that having his Shevet front and center was important in bringing about the continued support of the rest of the people. Just when it seems that things would be calm, the seeds of another upheaval are sown. When people complained that Shevet Yehuda seemed to be monopolizing David's attention and that they were overly represented, there will always be somebody who will take advantage of some unrest, and Sheva ben Bichri was one of those people. And he proclaims that David is not king over all of us. Just look how he favors Shevet Yehuda. And from that, the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri begins. Our first pasuk Aleph, Visham nikra ish b'liya'al, ushmo Sheva ben Bichri ish yimini. There was a base person, Sheva ben Bichri, from Shevet Binyamin. Vayitka b'shofar, and he blew his shofar, vayomer, ein lanu chelek b'david v'lo nachala lanu b'ven Yishai ish le'ohalav Yisrael. We do not have any chelek in David. We do not have any portion with Ben Yishai, with the son of Yishai. We want nothing to do with him. Everybody to his tent, they should go. Each man to his tent, they should go. And Pasuk Beis, Vayal Kol Ish Yisrael Me'acharei David Acharei Sheva Ben Bichri. So all of the mass of people followed after Sheva. They left David. They went after Sheva. V'ish Yehuda Davku B'malkam Min HaYarden V'ad Yerushalayim. But the people of Yehuda stood by their king from the Yarden until Yerushalayim. Now the next Pasuk Gimel, seems to be a very huge diversion from what we are speaking about. It does not seem to fit in with the flow of the psukim at all. It is an interjection that David took 10 of his concubines, those concubines that Avshalom had violated, and set them up in another residence with lots of support and protection, but he did not live with them at all. And they are called Almanus Chayos, living widows, because while they are legally married, David does not live with them, and they can't marry anybody else. They are sort of stuck. And the reason David does this, according to one opinion, is because they were violated by Avshalom. Halachically, they were forbidden to David, who was a king. If a wife of a hedyot, for example, is violated, she may return to her husband. But if the wife of a king is violated, according to some opinions, she is forbidden to go back to the king. And therefore, by this display, David wanted everybody to know that Avshalom was a hedyot. He was not a king. He took the kingship for his own, but it was not his to take. And therefore, David was not able to take back his concubines. Another opinion as to why he did this is, as part of his atonement for his taking Bathsheba, he was exercising restraint in this area. So getting back to this beginning of the rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri, David wants to quell this rebellion as quickly as possible and gives Amasa his newly appointed general, Amasa had been Avshalom's general, but now David appointed him as his general in order to forge peace. So he gave his newly appointed general his first set of instructions in his new position. He is to go and gather the troops and report back to him in 3 days' time so that they can quell this rebellion of Sheva ben Bichri. But 3 days pass and Amasa does not show up. He is late for the first day on the job. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that he was late because his men were engrossed in Torah study. The people that he wanted to gather together for the army were busy involved in Torah learning, and he made a decision that it was inappropriate or halachically not appropriate to interrupt them from their Torah study, even though there was an order from the king. And from here, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not Amasa was correct, under which circumstances may this be correct or not. So when Amasa does not show up, David tells Avishai, who is Yoav's brother, that he needs to gather the troops, needs to gather whichever troops are here in Yerushalayim and try to pursue Sheva ben Bichri. He does not address himself to Yoav. If we recall, Yoav was basically demoted. Amasa was put in his place. But since Amasa was not there, now he is turning to Avishai. And Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, Vayomar David El Avishai. So he says to Avishai, Atah yiran lanu Sheva ben Bichri min Avshalom. Sheva ben Bichri's rebellion could be worse than Avshalom's, because Avshalom, his family, perhaps he would have spared me and my family and his family, but Sheva ben Bichri is not family, and therefore we are all in danger. Atah kach es avdei Adonecha, take the servants of your master. And here this is referring to, according to most Mefarshim, it is referring to Yoav, meaning Yoav is right here and his men are here. Take his men. Uredof acharav pen matzalo arim b'tziroz v'hitzil einenu. And give chase to Sheva's troops, lest he hunker down in the fortified cities and he will be lost from our sights. So the battalion of these men, including Yoav, leave Yerushalayim to catch up to Sheva ben Bichri. And they encounter Amasa, the one who had been gathering the troops. He was on his way back to Yerushalayim with these troops. And they encounter him at the Even Gedola Asher Begivon. This is in Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Recall, interestingly, that at the beginning of David's Melucha, there was a duel between Yoav's men and Avner's men, which began probably around there in Givon. So it's interesting that there will be another altercation right in this area as well. The Navi continues to tell us that Yoav was wearing his special battle tunic and clothing, and he had tied his sword on him. And the Mefarshim explained that he tied it horizontally as opposed to vertically. Usually a sword is hanging vertically on a belt. But Yoav would typically tie his sword horizontally in order to facilitate quicker access, either by being able to pull it out very quickly or by moving his body in a specific way so that it would fall out. Obviously, in war, every split second counts. So in any case, his sword fell out. Yoav's sword fell out, and it's unclear whether or not he purposely let the sword fall out or it fell out accidentally, and when it did, he took the opportunity. But in any case, Yoav was standing face to face with Amasa when this sword fell out. He was standing face to face with this person who had just led the rebellion of Avshalom against the king, who now stands in his place. He took his place as the head general in David's army. So if there's one thing that we can say about Yoav, it is that he is a straight shooter, excuse the pun. And he seems to see things in a very black and white manner. You were disloyal to the king. Not only were you disloyal, but you led the rebellion. Who's to say you will not do it again? You are a morid b'malchus and you deserve to die. And by extension, we can safely say, the Mefarshim do say that his jealousy certainly swayed him in this line of thought. Because here we have Amasa was taking his place as general, and it was his place of general was taken up by the person who led the rebellion against David. Therefore, Pasuk Tes 9, Vayomer Yoav la Amasa, Yoav says to Amasa, Hashalom atachi, are you, how are you doing? Are you well? Vatochez yad yamin Yoav bizakan Amasa linishaklo, and he took his right hand to grab the beard of Amasa to give him a kiss, ostensibly to give him a kiss. V'Amasa lo nishmar b'cherev asher b'yad Yoav, and he didn't realize that he wasn't careful about the sword that Yoav was holding. Like, he was completely unsuspecting, the Gemara says. V'yakehu ba el hachomesh, v'yishpach me'av arza, v'losha nalo v'yamos. And in typical Yoav style, he struck him in the fifth rib, and his insides, his innards, his kishkas, spilled out to the ground. He didn't even have to repeat this movement, meaning he died by the first strike. V'yoav Avishai Achiv Radaf Acharei Sheva Ben Bichri, and after that, Yoav, he left him there. Yoav and Avishai, his brother, chased after Sheva Ben Bichri. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ish Yamad Alav Mina Are Yoav, and there's a man that stood from one of the front of the lads of Yoav. Yomer Mi Asher Chafetz BeYoav Umi Asher LeDavid. Acharei Yoav. Anybody who is on the side of Yoav or David should follow Yoav after me. What he means to say is that after witnessing Yoav killing Amasa, you may think, I don't want to follow after Yoav. But if you are loyal to David, then you don't really have a choice. You have to follow after Yoav. However, everybody from this battalion stopped dead in their tracks when they saw the gruesome sight of Amasa. His blood was spilling, his kishkas were all over the place. It was a very gruesome sight. So this man, again, the same man, moved Amasa off the path and covered him so that nobody would stop and be completely shocked by the sight. So the battalion continues their pursuit of Sheva ben Bichri, and they passed throughout Israel and got to the city of Avel, where Sheva was hiding behind the walled city. And the soldiers lay a siege around the city, and the troops tried to break through the wall. So Yoav's troop obviously wants to breach the wall because ostensibly Avel is harboring the enemy, the rebel. So in Pasuk Tes Zion, we read of a wise woman who calls out to Yoav. 16, Vatikra Isha Chachama min Ha'ir, and a wise woman calls out from the city, Shim'u, Shim'u, Imruna, El Yoav, Krav Adhena Va'adabra Ilecha. Listen, listen, get Yoav to come here because I want to speak to him. So Yud Zayin, Vayikrav Eleha Vatomer Ha'isha Ha'ata Yoav, Vayomer Ani. So he came, Yoav came, and the woman said, this very brave, very brilliant woman, said, are you Yoav? And he said, yes, I am. Vatomer lo. And she said to him, Shema divrei masecha, vayomer shomei anochi. Listen to what I have to say. And he said, okay. Vatomer, Pasuk Yedches 18, Vatomer lemor. And she said, Daber yidabru barishona lemor, sha'ol yishalu be'evel v'chein heitamu. She said, if you would have asked us in the beginning, do we want to make peace? We would certainly have said, yes, we want to make peace. And we would not have to be in this danger. Anochi shulmei emunei Yisrael. I am from the peaceful ones, and we are faithful to Yisrael, meaning that we are faithful to David HaMelech. Atam avakesh lahamis ir ve'aim b'Yisrael. Do you want to kill out an entire city and all of its suburbs? Why should you destroy a portion of Hashem? Lama tivla nachalas Hashem. And Yoav responds and says, no, not at all. I just want Sheva ben Bichri, who rebelled against the king. Hand him over, and we will call it a day. But now the woman has to convince the people of her city to hand him over, which she did. As Pasuk Chaf Beis tells us, 22, Vatavo ha'isha el kol ha'am b'chachmasa v'yichrisu esrosh sheva ben bichri v'yashlichu el yoav v'yitzka b'shofar v'yafutsu me'al ha'ir ish le'ohalav. So the woman came to the people of her city with chachma. They ended up cutting off Sheva ben Bichri's head. They threw it over the wall to Yoav. They blew the shofar and they spread away. They spread apart. They left the city, each man to his house. V'yoav shav Yerushalayim el ha-melech, and Yoav returned to Yerushalayim to the king. What did this woman tell her townspeople? How did she manage to convince them to hand him over? Rashi explains, bringing the Tosefta in Trumos, she said to the townspeople, it would be forbidden for us to hand Sheva over if we would also be in danger. But since we are definitely in danger, if we do not hand him over, we will all be guilty of rebellion and we have to hand him over. In other words, if we don't hand him over, we're all going to die anyway. The Medrash says that she fabricated a scenario and said that Yoav is demanding that we hand over 100 people, to which they refuse. Then she pretends to go back and forth to Yoav to negotiate, and she pretends to gradually bargain him down to only one man, Sheva ben Bichri. So Sheva ben Bichri is handed over, the rebellion is quelled, and Yoav returns. Now, this incident actually generates a lot of discussion about the halachic parameters under which a group of people can hand over one person to be killed in order to save the lives of the rest of the group. Now the Navi is going to tell us who were the members of David's inner circle, his officers. We had a similar list in Perches, but this is many years later, about 30 years later. So we have Pasuk Chav Gimel 23, V'Yoav El Kol HaTzava Yisrael. Yoav was the general. He remained general of the army. Benayahu Ben Yehoyada was in charge of that special unit of archers. Adoram was in charge of tax collection. Yehoshaphat was the chronicler. And the Shva was the secretary. Tzadok and Avyasar were Kohanim. And then we have Ira, who was a special attendant to David. Now, it is unbelievable that Yoav is back in the saddle again, and he is the general still of the army. Why in the world would David keep Yoav as the head of his army after he disobeyed many orders? He just killed Amasa. What's going on? So according to the Malbim, His first choice as general was really Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who would be eventually general under Shlomo's army. But he had to maintain Yoav as the head general. And what the Malbim says is, Raka asher shav Yoav hitzliach laharog es Sheva ben Bichri, because when Yoav came back to kill, after killing Sheva ben Bichri, he quelled the rebellion. Ra'ad David ki lo yuchalo. He saw that he was not, he can't overcome him. He can't oppose Yoav. Ki Yisrael no tim acharav, because B'nai Yisrael were following after him. Kamo shekasov anashim b'nei tzriya kashim mimeni, as we had said in Perek Gimel, that, you know, David couldn't do what he wanted with his cousins, who definitely had very many differences of opinion with him on many aspects, but he couldn't because he saw they were so powerful. And because of that, Nishar Hadavar Kemikedem V'Yoav Nishar El Kol Hatzava Yisrael, and therefore he had to keep Yoav in the same position as general. Rotolomar Mipnei She Yisrael Nimshechu Acharav, because B'nai Yisrael followed after him. He had a following, he had the support of the people, and David felt that he could not depose him right now. Now, with all of Yoav's questionable behavior, it is clear and that all of his actions, and ironically, those actions that defy David's orders, stemmed from Yoav's loyalty to David and what he perceived as David's best interest. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.